Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Computer Weekly Downtime Upload Podcast. I'm Cliff Sarin and my guest today is Kate Ballingit, Digital Innovation Lead at Mars Pet Nutrition. Hi Kate, well thank you very much for joining me today. And I know we're on total different time zones. It's kind of like I will mess this up because I'm way past work time. Not really. It's only about 5 o'clock UK time. But I guess it's quite early morning in Los Angeles. So I just want to start by asking you if you can give me a little bit about your background in digital innovation and how that is leading to your work and how, sorry, that led to your work in pet care. Particularly in the sort of digital health initiatives and sort of what, and also kind of what that means from a pet's perspective.
Sure, absolutely. So I started my career at Google back in 2010. It was still the pretty early days of commercialization of our paid media products. Mm. And I worked on the automotive vertical team, helping brands like Toyota and Audi and Ford use our advertising products in innovative new ways for aligning their brand and retail marketing strategies. In a lot of ways, it was digital transformation before I really knew what that term was. Mm. You know, it was working with these 80-year-old global enterprises who had to transform a lot of their internal processes to accommodate for the realities of the new digital economy. Mm. I then moved over to Waze to work on the diversification strategy into mobility services. And it was really at Waze that I learned the principles of building a massive structured data flywheel. You know, we were collecting user annotations about the state of the road and then curating those into services like navigation, which everybody knows, you know, Waze for, but also for intelligence for transit agencies, and then eventually building our own ride sharing platform.
Mm, yeah, I mean, everyone's heard of Waze. I mean, that's amazing. Must have been a really amazing time to be at Google, to be at Waze and working on that kind of innovation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, honestly, when I started, Google was about a 15th of the size that it is now. Mm. So I feel really privileged to have been there kind of in the early days when you could be really creative about kind of commercialization strategies. But after being at Google and Waze then for about 9 years, I was itching for a really big change. So I actually moved to Tel Aviv, where I joined a deep tech startup. Mm. We were specializing in computer vision services using in-vehicle cameras. So working in domains like geospatial intelligence, training for autonomous vehicles, and mapping and navigation.
But I guess it's a similar... although this is an oversimplification, but it's kind of like a similar thing to Waze in the sense that it's, you know, the idea of using, you know, sensors of some sort to pick up the information, whether it's visual, whether it's, you know, I guess from the driver's perspective, it's the radars or whatever, the LiDAR, it's all of that sort of stuff, to know what's going on and then to build something around that is something that you can apply in different jobs.
Yeah, 100%. The same kind of principles. It was just an update in the form factor, mm. right? Waze was manual annotations, like within a smartphone application, and then moving on to kind of emerging technology, so computer vision, where the annotations of the state of the road were, you know, automated using sensors.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. But in 2022, I was ready to move back to the U.S., and that's actually when Mars Petcare reached out. They were looking for a new GM for a smart device company that they had acquired back in 2016. Mm. So that's how I kind of came into Mars. But over the last year, I've been leading the digital health initiative, reporting up to our Petcare chief information officer. Mm. And so the initiative is really about how we look at commercializing and deploying AI through our biggest brands. So I'm really excited to talk to you about that in a bit more detail.
And I guess for our listeners who are aware of Mars, but not the pet food brands, can you name some that Mars produces?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So Mars Pet Nutrition, first and foremost, is in the business of safely feeding 400 million cats and dogs around the world. Mm. We have iconic brands like Pedigree, Iams, Whiskas, Shiba. So it's an incredible business. And even though we're building tech products, it is at a non-tech company. So we do need to kind of abide by the same standards of scientific credibility and scientific rigor that applied to our primary business of food.
Okay. And how big is your team? How big is the digital health team at Mars?
Yeah, I sit within the digital transformation organization at Pet Nutrition. So that's about 200 associates who handle everything from IT to our brand digital properties to data and analytics. But my role is a bit unique. I orchestrate the initiative across three core functions: science, data science, and software engineering. Mm. So the digital health initiative, it all starts with science. We're building scientific instruments, these algorithms that are capable of detecting the emerging presence of health conditions in dogs. So I start by partnering with the global R&D science function, which includes specialists in oral health, skin health, gut health, healthy aging. And we spec out what is the capability that we want to build? What are the symptoms of a health condition that we want to detect? I then work with the data science team to actually build the algorithm itself. So once we've identified essentially the entity that we want to detect within a smartphone photo, so in the case of canine dental check, we're detecting the entity of plaque and tartar and gum irritation. I work with our data science team to build the algorithm itself. So we have to acquire the training data, we have to label it, and then we build the computer vision models using Azure developer tools. And we make that algorithm available via an API. And then finally, I work with our software engineering team on the actual product experience itself. So what is that workflow? How do we accept a photo from a user, ping the API, and then show back the result? And of course, the experience itself lives on our various brand digital properties like greenies.com for canine dental check, or iams.com for poop scan. So we need to build the product experience according to a really high bar of enterprise architecture, data security, data privacy. So it's a truly cross-functional effort, you know, bringing together science, data science, and software engineering to do something really special, scale scientific understanding and put these capabilities into the hands of pet parents around the world through our biggest brands.
Mm. So, how many people are on this sort of large, big IT function that you're part of?
Well, like I said, there's about 200 total associates within the digital transformation team at Mars Pet Nutrition. But in this instance, we're actually better served by working with associates in these specialized functions. So it's bringing together the expertise in science and health and nutrition, expertise in algorithm development, and then expertise in enterprise software development. And when you can kind of orchestrate everyone around, you know, this pretty ambitious vision, I think we can build great things.
Okay, so I just want to ask a bit about digital transformation and in terms of what that means for Mars Pet Nutrition. I mean, what are the focus areas? What are the technology drivers for you and digital transformation in the business? What's that mean?
Mars has made a pretty large commitment to digitizing the pet care business. So that includes everything from upskilling our associates to digitizing our factories and supply chain to elevating our e-commerce experiences to working with emerging technologies like agentic AI for automating workflows or data and analytics. For digital health specifically, our territories are focused on computer vision algorithms, so building image classifiers to detect, signs of emerging health conditions, enterprise software components, so how do we create user experiences that can safely and securely live on our brand digital properties. We do a lot of work around data architecture for structuring all of the data that we're collecting from pet parents around the world using these tools. And then finally, we're experimenting with agentic AI interfaces for helping our associates mine all of this health data for business intelligence and consumer market insights.
Okay, you've mentioned AI a few times, and I think I've had many guests. Obviously, it's such a big topic, artificial intelligence, and you know, we're recording this podcast just a week after OpenAI announced GPT-5, right? You know, so everyone is so interested in how this thing is going and how fast it's moving. I mean, how are you using AI to improve the experience for pet parents?
Sure. I mean, for us at Pet Nutrition, it all starts with the pet parent. We're very anchored on this concept of pet parent centricity. You know, everything that we do, we put the pet parent experience at the center. And that includes deeply investing in trying to understand pet parent needs. So our use of AI in the Greenies Canine Dental Check tool, it started with a pet parent insight. We know that 80% of dogs have signs of periodontal disease by the age of 3, but 72% of pet parents think that their dog's oral health is fine. So we realize we have this serious awareness gap with pet parents. And the question is, how could we use AI to solve a real pain point and essentially make the invisible visible, help people understand that their dog is experiencing an oral health issue right now?
Yes.
So what we did was we built a computer vision algorithm. We used over 50,000 images of dogs, and we built an algorithm that was capable of detecting from a smartphone image, is this a dog? Is this a dog's mouth? Is this a dog's tooth? And then if this is a dog's tooth, does it have visual signs of oral health disease? So signs of plaque, signs of tartar, signs of gum irritation. And we just released a new experience on greenies.com 2 weeks ago where we actually show you on an individual tooth level. Dogs have 42 teeth. We show you on an individual tooth level, this tooth is experiencing, you know, signs of plaque and tartar. And based on the type of tooth, it's a canine, an incisor, a premolar, molar, what are specific care instructions that you can take?
Well, I mean, I'm just on that. I mean, I have a little dog and, you know, you could see her front teeth, but looking down the back of the mouth or even the side of the mouth is always an experience where, you know, one doesn't really want to go down there. And my question is the quality. How do you, and I mean, the quality of the photographs that you get from pet parents, I mean, and how you're able to, given, you know, how people hold their pets to take the photograph and what they're able to do, given the moment that the dog allows you to take a photograph of its mouth, I can imagine trying to hold the smartphone while trying to hold the dog at the same time. I mean, how does that work out? You know, there was, I mean, in AI, you need good quality data. And if you're taking a photograph of, you know, a dog that may not want his photograph of his mouth taken, that may be a bit difficult.
Well, we obviously always, you know, encourage users to use caution. But when I've looked at the data, actually, the average user captures about 10.2 teeth in the photo itself. Mm. So we would think, you know, potentially there would be a challenge with the form factor. But when we put the tool in the hands of pet parents, they're actually very capable of using it. I think the most important thing going into the product development process, though, was the quality of the algorithm itself, how we trained the model. So we used actual vets to label the images. We did consensus evaluation to compare the performance of the models with what a vet saw in the same image. And once we achieved really 97% accuracy on an image level, that's when we felt comfortable enough of this meets kind of our very high bar here at Mars Pet Nutrition from a quality and scientific rigor standpoint, that we're comfortable putting this product in the hands of pet parents. Mm. And then we then worked with oral health specialists to actually write the product copy itself, make sure we were presenting the results in a credible fashion, giving pet parents the right resources, you know, based on what their results are.
I just want to stop you there. And I know we are going to talk about the next one as well, which I love, actually. It's a great name, Poop Scan. But with Greenies, and I'm trying not to laugh about the Poop Scan, but with the Greenies Canine Dental Check, how, I mean, 97 out of 100, right? So out of 100 images, 97%, that's what it means. There is a... If dare I say, 3% is quite a large proportion that's not going to be accurate. How are you working to improve that, and what are your goals?
Yeah, no algorithm is going to be 100% accurate, just like no human is going to be 100% accurate, right? So I think what's really important is that it's not a diagnostic device. Mm. Our goal was, how could we build a health screening instrument that could find visual indicators of an emerging disease? And then a really important part of the product experience is once you get your results, you can actually chat with a licensed vet technician to discuss those results. Okay. And in that chat process, you can ask more questions and get a kind of a larger health context.
Okay, yes, I understand.
It's really designed to be kind of like a quick insight. Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. So it's now your time, Poop Scan. What is that and how does it work?
Yeah, so Poop Scan, it started in the same way as Canine Dental Check, about an insight about pet parent behavior. So we were looking at data from our vet chat service. We have a service on iams.com where pet parents can chat with licensed vet technicians. And the number one question that kept coming up was about diarrhea. Mm. A lot of people had concerns about their dog's gut health. And so we wanted to find a way to kind of quickly give people tangible insights about the stool consistency. We joke that, you know, it's kind of a funny term, but the reality is when the poop is a little too dry, the dog could be experiencing like pretty bad constipation and actually is in need of medical attention.
Yes.
So we wanted to find a way to put a tool that could help people quantify the stool consistency into the hands of pet parents quickly. And the thing about Poop Scan is that the algorithm is actually a few years old. It was built by our own internal R&D teams as a way of testing the impact of food ingredients on stool consistency. So unlike Canine Dental Check, we already had the algorithm itself. Mm. And because we built the product experience of Canine Dental Check in such a way from an enterprise architecture standpoint, we built it in a way that we could then just plug in this other algorithm and create a kind of a new product in a different health territory for a different brand, but we could do it in record time. Mm. So within 2 months of putting up Canine Dental Check, we then put up Poop Scan on iams.com. So it addresses a real pain point and it helped us basically utilize a pre-existing R&D asset.
So was that a design criteria that you would build an architecture that could be very easily adapt and be modified so that you could put new functionality going forward and as the business required?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think that, you know, what we're doing in the world of digital health, we're working on kind of tip of the spear with technology in two ways. We're working with computer visions and algorithm development and learning how to basically productize and commercialize those types of capabilities in a way that makes sense for our business at Mars. You know, like I said, we're primarily in the business of safely feeding 400 million cats and dogs around the world. So how do we make AI work for our business? So we're working with these emerging technologies like computer vision, and then we're trying to build products with a platform approach. How can we repurpose the assets for different types of deployments? Because I think this is really the biggest challenge for an organization like Mars, right? How do you build products and digital experiences that meet the unique needs of individual brands, of individual business units and unique different markets? Mm. You know, we have 50 brands in 50 different markets, but how do you build them in a way that they share a common enough set of standards and components so that you're not building 178 different products? And that's why my team takes like a very component-based approach, right? Mm. I don't see us building products so much as a series of capabilities that will set us up to launch a lot more AI-powered products. We're building capabilities around data ingestion,
yes,
capabilities around component-based product design, capabilities around data accessibility. And the idea is that we can use these capabilities in a lot of contexts.
And see, one of the challenges, I guess, and I know you mentioned the term platform, as in platform engineering, and is that it's something that I guess was born out of the major IT firms, the likes of Google, doing, you know, the kind of software development that only Google can do. And I say only Google can do because when you look at it and say, well, okay, Mars, what does Mars actually do? Well, it's a food company and it makes, you know, dog food and pet food and, you know, cat food. And so the inevitable question, I guess, is, well, you know, you're not Google, and how do you convince the business that the approach you're taking is going to be the right one for developing the idea that people in the business will have a product idea. They'll say, well, this is the sort of thing we want to do. How quickly can we do it? Or is it possible to do that? Well, it's possible to do it quickly, or it's possible to do it in a way that you have just described, which, you know, potentially takes a lot longer to get to day one, to get to the launch of the first product, but then you can do things quicker afterwards. So, I mean, I'd like to talk a little bit, if you may, about the approach that you take in converting a great idea into a product.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think when it comes to, and you said it, like AI is just top of mind for everybody right now, right? I mean, the last 2 years have been a whirlwind, and it comes down to this question of what should we at Mars Petcare be doing in AI? Like, and I think it's important to be very intentional about what exactly we're doing. And the key question for me is, what do we at Mars Petcare have that an AI company in Silicon Valley doesn't have? What are our unique assets that we could build an AI innovation agenda on top of? And I think we have two really differentiated assets at Mars Petcare. The first is our global brands. These are brands that pet parents around the world know and trust. And we've been, like I said, feeding 400 million cats and dogs safely for 90 years. We've built 50 brands in 50 different countries on the back of quality and delivery. So our brands are a real asset. I think the other asset that we have is our cutting edge science. We have world-class R&D teams and subject matter experts in, you know, who are specialists in health territories like gut health, skin health, oral health. We also have our Waltham Research Institute, which, you know, identifies new biomarkers of disease. We have our Mars Veterinary Health Network, so all our vet health experts. So we have two really differentiated assets to build an AI innovation agenda on top of: our global brands and our subject matter expertise and our scientific credibility. So what can we do? We can build algorithms, computer vision models that replicate visual understanding of these health conditions. And then we can scalably launch these products on our existing digital properties if we build them in a way that they can work for all 50 brands in all 50 markets. That's really kind of the level of, I think, intention that you have to have right now, because there's so much happening and you don't want to do AI for AI's sake. Mm. You want to say, what are my differentiated assets? What's my very targeted use case? And then what's my distribution strategy using my existing properties, my brand websites?
Oh, and just as a quick follow-up, I mean, how does that AI strategy fit into the wider digital strategy of the business?
We, like I said, we kind of can be sort of tip of the spear. We're working with emerging technologies. So, you know, when it comes to algorithm development, there are a lot of open source algorithms available. In the world of computer vision, Meta has published a lot of different, you know, algorithms that can do certain parts of the workflow, right? They are open source models that can help you extract the dog itself from the background of the image. But the real models that matter, the models to detect the presence of plaque and tartar or quantify stool consistency, we need to build that ourselves. Mm. And we need to build that with a level of kind of scientific credibility and rigor that's reflective of the way that we do business. Because, you know, we're working in a pretty highly regulated environment of companion animal health. You know, my team can't just move fast and break things. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to be able to kind of show our work. Where did you find your training data? Who labeled that data? How well do your models perform against, you know, compared to a specialist in this domain? And I think that's a really good thing, to have to take our time and show our work, right? Mm. We're also dealing with pets. I mean, 37% of pet owners say that their pet is their most important thing in their lives. Yes. And we need to be really respectful of that. So I think it's a really good thing that we're held to this really high quality bar, building tech products within a non-tech company. Hmm. The key for me is to rally my team around the fact that this is a good thing. Yes. We should be required to take our time to show our work. But if the idea is ambitious enough and we can build it in a way that scales and drives mutual value for our brands and for pet parents, we will get that great idea through to production.
Now, you mentioned Meta and you mentioned large language models. is the models, or are the models, sorry, that Mars building, are they large language models? I mean, it's just, you know, because I'd like to know how you go about choosing an AI model. And if you're doing the stuff yourself, is it that, or is it, you know, you're taking a Llama or something and or OpenAI and adapting, you know, these models?
No, we're building the computer vision models ourselves. Mm. So, you know, it all comes down to, again, the differentiated assets. So our proprietary data sets, we, you know, bootstrap an image database, and then we work with vets to actually label the images and train the algorithm to detect the entity in the photo that we want to detect. Okay. And we have to go through the same kind of scientific governance processes for our algorithms that our counterparts in the food, you know, part of the business have to go through. So we do have to be able to, you know, say where we sourced our data. We have to be able to say who labeled that data. And then, you know, we're very explicit about publishing how we train the models. You know, you can find links to the science behind our products in all of them. I think this is really the differentiator, again, of how do you do tech at a non-tech company. You have to abide by those same quality standards that apply to the entire business. You don't get a free pass just because you're working with algorithms.
Yes, yes, of course. I mean, I think I touched on this before about when you mentioned platform and sort of platform engineering type stuff. But you've worked at several significant technology organizations, including Google and Waze. I mean, how has those experiences influenced how you approach your current role at Mars?
Yeah, absolutely. Working at Google on the digital media side specifically was really important because that background helps me ensure that we're building AI products that work in a digital marketing context for our biggest brands. You know, we're putting these out there as ways to drive digital engagement, build first-party relationships, give real utility to users that our brands can then build marketing campaigns around. So the digital media experience is key when thinking about how are we going to make these products work in a marketing context. At Waze, I learned a lot about, like I said, that structured data acquisition flywheel and how you build products and services on top of proprietary data sets. And then just the kind of product lifecycle itself, right? You bootstrap a data set, you put the first version out, you get feedback from users, you collect more real world training data, you optimize the algorithm, you put out an even better product experience. And then over time, you can actually find really new and exciting use cases for that data set in terms of business intelligence or, you know, enterprise grade products and services. We have a lot of different businesses within Mars. So this is really just kind of getting us started in building a kind of data flywheel.
Okay, thank you. Well, I mean, we've come to the end, almost the end. Also, Kate, well, thank you very much for bearing with me. But I do have one further question, and it is about, you know, the obvious one, you know, how AI is shaping pet care. And I think many pet parents would love to talk to their pets or understand what their pets are saying. Are we getting any closer to that? And how do you think things will change over the next few years? I mean, my little Shih Tzu, I mean, she'll sit down on the ground, not do anything, you know, when I wanted her to go for a walk. I'd love to know what she's saying and what she's thinking. Are we going to get any closer to that?
Yeah. I was talking to some of our marketing leaders on our cat businesses, and, you know, the number one question that cat owners ask, well, Google or ChatGPT or any one of these engines is, does my cat love me? Yes. So I think that, you know, in this whole world of kind of sensors and AI, like our pets do talk to us with their movements, with their facial expressions. And how can we use kind of sensors to help quantify animal behavior and then apply AI on top of that sensor data to sort of translate that into something that we as humans could understand? So there's a lot of opportunities in the space. You know, we're doing a lot of other exciting applications of AI across Mars Pet Care within our Mars science and diagnostics division. We have Antech Imaging, which is a radiography service, and we're using AI through our rapid read product on top of x-rays to help find anomalies. I think that when it comes to using AI in pet care, the winners are going to be those who kind of do three things for pet care, but any vertical, is find those really targeted use cases. Build great product experiences that are intuitive, that have really easy workflows. But I think most importantly, and that's what I've tried to think about in terms of how we build our AI agenda, is what are your truly differentiated assets that you can start to build capabilities on top of? But honestly, when I think about just the future of pet care and AI, I think that as we all spend even more time in these hyper-personalized and increasingly intelligent digital universes, our pets are going to be even more important than ever for kind of anchoring us on our humanity. I think there's nothing better than a dog that needs a walk or a cat that's ready for her next treat to kind of get us off of our devices and into the real world. So my hope for AI and pet care is that more people get pets to get them off of their devices and into the real world.
Exactly. Yes. And I agree absolutely 100% with that, Kate. Well, thank you ever so much, Kate, for taking part in today's podcast. And thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.